News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go. Here we are. FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Kind of breaking news this morning.
Yeah.
You know, just like a glimmer of hope for I-10. I don't know. I think at this point we kind of get excited anytime we think that we're at least on the radar of people who make big decisions.
Yeah, and all the talk since the new proposal for the truck bridge, the proposed tolled truck bridge over the Mobile River, and everyone has been saying, look, even though Congress is doing their damnedest to pass this, what are we at now? Is it a $40 trillion bill? So a $3.5 trillion soft infrastructure bill is what the Democrats agreed to yesterday. But I think a $1.5 trillion, what we would think is a standard infrastructure bill, coming in at $1.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. And neither has yet passed. And, of course, Democrats want to pass them as a combined kind of thing, even though Republicans are saying, listen, that's a lot of money. And we've already spent a lot of money. But regardless, down here on the coast, whether you like the bill or not, you're thinking, if we as a country are going to spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure, how can they still be ignoring this this major, you know, backup on the federal interstate?
Interstate bottleneck that does affect, you know, again, the words to the song, right, over and over again. It's not just trying to get back and forth, Mobile to Daphne, to work and to home. It's everything. It's people from Texas and Louisiana trying to go to Disney or Miami or to our own beaches.
Or Jacksonville.
Or Jacksonville, which is, you know, clearly Dalton's favorite city in the world, even though to me it's like Bayou La Batre with more space. But to me, it is a major problem. Now, again, all right, so do we know where there are other traffic major problems across the country? Not really, but we know this is one. We know it's on an interstate, and we know that it's getting worse and worse and worse.
I'm sure everyone has their own little problem. But anyway, the breaking news this morning, to get around to it, is Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, according to John Sharp with AL.com, joining a group of 8 governors and mayors today to discuss critical investments in infrastructure with President Joe Biden. This was a presser put out by the White House. Stimson's office is nonpartisan, and as I think most local ran offices should be, whether it's city council or mayor, you know, you get to know a person, you kind of start to learn their politics. Mm-hmm. But really, when you're dealing with localized politics, it should be as nonpartisan as possible.
Yeah, and I think I think for Mayor Stimson, it does him no good to come out and say, hey, I'm the Republican here.
Right.
In the city of Mobile, that's not going to win you a bunch of votes.
Well, of course, governors do put a R or a D or an I next to their names.
Governors,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, and so today, joining the mayor in the meeting will be Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt, Vermont Republican Governor Phil Scott, two people who would just love to shut their states down again, Democratic New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Mm.
That'll be interesting. Also, Mayors Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, Kate Gallego of Phoenix, and Michael Hancock of Denver. So this is a pretty exclusive list that Mayor Stimson's worked his way onto.
It is. So, I mean, okay, he's going to be in the meeting, but do we know that he's going to be able to present the problem that Mobile has at the meeting?
So,
why else would he be there? I get that, but
according to the White House, Biden will underscore that infrastructure has long been a bipartisan issue and that there's agreement across the aisle on the need to make investments in the economy and middle class that will create millions of jobs and help the U.S., quote, outcompete the rest of the world in the 21st century. And that's kind of what he's been doing, at least on its face, trying to put together that this is a bipartisan infrastructure bill, because all of the different accomplishments that either whether you have a Republican president, Democratic majority leader or Republican majority leader, they love to promote that they were able to bring together a bipartisan bill. That's like the end all be all, right? That's what they love saying. So if Biden can get this through, even with this $3.5 trillion thing that they're trying to get through with budget reconciliation, just the 50 bare minimum Democrat votes they need, even if that goes through, if he's able to say this $1.5 trillion infrastructure bill was bipartisan, in his book, that would be a win. And he's been the last few weeks and months really trying to show that he's meeting with both Republicans and Democrats. And that's what he has here with these mayors and governors meeting. But for us, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, I think the big news here is Mayor Sandy Stimson getting his voice heard directly by Biden. And there will be some others in the room, too. They said Vice President Kamala Harris will be there. This will be 2 o'clock in the White House in the Roosevelt Room. Harris will be there, Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo, and Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh. Surprisingly, I don't see Buttigieg in there. Isn't he the Secretary of Transportation?
Transportation, he is.
You don't think he would be involved?
He's got some tennis later today. He'll get in around 5, and they'll give him a little briefing, debriefing of what went down.
He found out about the meeting with the press release, like everyone else. Yeah. Meeting is taking place after the U.S. Conference of Mayors yesterday sent a letter to congressional leaders urging them to take immediate action in supporting this $1.2 trillion infrastructure framework. So there's a few different things to take from this. First off, will Mayor Stimson be able to convince the president and vice president that, hey, this little thing called I-10 that stretches across basically the entirety of the southern United States, that runs through a little place called Mobile, Alabama, and there's a spot there that every afternoon and every Friday and Saturday especially, you have to wait 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, 4 hours after the Independence Day holiday or heading into that holiday. And why are we having to pay the toll for it as a local community? Why isn't this a federal project with the trillions of dollars that you're spending? If he's able to convince them to include even, you know, half of it or three quarters of it or any of it, what will that mean for his election coming up next month? That would be a big deal, I think.
Oh, it would be huge. Before we get too, you know, romance by the idea that this is all going to, you know.
Oh, I don't think it's done. But I don't think it's anywhere close to actually happening.
No,
right?
No, it's not. But, you know, the Biden Bayway.
Oh, gosh.
would we, Joe, we'll name it after you, man. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
The Biden Bayway. A little statue of Joe as you're hitting the bridge, waving at you.
Hey, oh, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man, have a good day at the beach. A statue of Joe Biden with his sunglasses on.
Yeah.
In the, who's the guy that does them on Saturday Night Live or was doing them?
Who was that? It wasn't, you had Jim Carrey most recently. Yeah.
He was nailing it. Joe with the sunglasses on, waving at you and basically saying, hey, man, have a good day at the beach.
Have a great time. Yeah. I think. Even though, you know, Mobile, well, the state, we know, voted heavily Republican in the last few elections. And I don't think most people would mind. I'd love to see you on the – would you avoid the Bayway or the new I-10 toll – would you avoid a toll-free new I-10 Mobile River Bridge?
If it was named.
If it was named the Biden Bayway or – and had a statue of Joe Biden standing there? Or would you prefer to pay $6 each way and just name it the Trump River Bridge for some reason? I don't know.
How about don't get the Gulf Shores Planning Commission involved because they will say that statue could scare children. Then you'd have all that going on.
The texts are already rolling in. Chuck says the Biden Bayway would be so confusing. Call it Corn Pop Expressway. And Doug says, no Biden statue. Well, Doug, we're far way off from that. But just wondering, you know, who else out there? Would you avoid the new bridge if it was the Biden Bayway?
Biden statue with the sunglasses. Come on. You know, say what you want. It's a dialogue here in the 8 o'clock hour. It's the way we like it. 343-0106. I love the sunglass. The sunglass wearing Joe Biden statue at the base of the Biden Bayway. They'll be waving at you, and on the statue it'll say, hey, man, have a good day at the beach.
I'm sure 0% chance that would be vandalized.
It'd be tough to vandalize because suddenly you'd be going the speed limit faster rather than doing. If you had the delays, somebody could easily
for sure
take a shot at it.
But if it's actually moving over the bayway or over the bay, then you'd be fine.
Big news: Mobile County now has got a brand new messaging alert system. Like, hey, We got a new Bay Bridge. You can sign up for it and get to alerts. It's really easy. Text mobile alert, that's one word, to 226-787. This system was purchased by the Mobile County Communications District 911 Board, and it's being made available to all public entities who want to get the word out about whatever quickly to the community. You can also create your own personal profile. It can contain emergency alerts and health and medical information and household information and a bunch of stuff. And once you're signed up, you'll get alerts like weather updates, road closures, extreme traffic backups. Oh, there you go. The Biden Bayway is here. Things like that. First responder activity, even parade information during Mardi Gras and how the Biden Bayway would play into downtown downtown parades. In no way will the app be used for commercials or political statements. Don't worry about that. No spam like that. Brand new. Mobile County Messaging Alert System. Text Mobile Alert, that's one word, to 226-787. Sign up today.
So the reason Dan keeps saying the Biden Bayway, if you missed that first segment, Mayor Sandy Stimson today meeting with eight other mayors and governors from around the nation. He's meeting in the White House with President Biden to talk infrastructure. And, of course, the first thing we think of down here when we think of infrastructure is the I-10 bridge.
Right.
And what may come of that in the future, and why do we have to pay tolls for something that's a federal interstate? So we posed, you know, if this were to happen, I think Mayor Stimson would probably, if he were able to convince today for them to add it to the plans or whatever, he would be the first to probably get the, you know, the parade thrown in his honor. But if Biden were the one to make it happen, and we called this thing the Biden Bayway, or as Dan noted, a statue of Biden in his glasses saying, have a great time at the beach, or
man,
would you still ride on the I-10 bridge?
Yes.
And getting some takes here. Who do we have on the line? Is it Hasty?
I believe.
Hasty's
Bayman.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and I hope y'all are too.
Yes, we are.
In answer to whether or not I would ride on the Biden Bayway,
mm-hmm.
No. I would go out of my way to avoid it.
Mm.
Wow.
So you'd take the long way around rather than the quick, new, easy bridge, just because of the name?
Yeah. No, not because of the name, because of the man behind the name.
Right.
Gotcha.
I got you. So, yeah, like Hasty, you'll be interested to know, might have been last year or 2 years ago, I had to get to Daphne for a high school football game that we do on UTV 44, and I came right through your neighborhood. I had to drive all the way up to Baymanette and then back down to Daphne to get to the field on time. So it's kind of a hassle.
So if it was the, let's say DeSantis wins next presidential race, or Trump, and you call it the Trump Bridge or the DeSantis Bridge, would you travel on that?
Sure. Either one.
Hasty, yeah. Thank you very much. Hasty and Baymanette.
She's great call this morning, yeah. Enjoying that. We got somebody else on the line. And Dan, to be honest with you, my screener is down. So who are we talking here?
We are talking to Dave on how to pay for the bridge.
Hey, Dave.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Let's paint a face of Trump and a face of Biden on the bridge, depending on which one you run over, is which toll you pay.
So you pay.
Wait, so the person you run over, the face you run over, are you running over them because you like them, or the one you don't like? How's this work exactly? Because that could be conflicting.
Well, that would differentiate which toll you pay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Sounds like a game at the fair. But
it sounds dangerous, really.
Thank you, Dave.
If everyone's swerving to make sure they run over the right president, that sounds like that could maybe cause more problems than solving.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the texts, Terry says, since it's the Biden Bayway, would there be handlers there to direct you in the right direction when you get confused? another texter says, the statue of Biden would scare children. Okay, there you go. Well,
that's the Gulf Shores Planning Commission.
Exactly.
We're talking about
exactly. The statue should be waving people through with the caption, come on, man. I like that.
that's where I'm going with this. That is where I'm going with this. People have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
If we're going to get the Bayway, just throw them a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Name it after old Sleepy Joe. Fine.
Yeah.
And Sleepy Joe Expressway. I don't know.
I really don't think anyone would care, you know?
No, they wouldn't.
I mean, obviously, Hasty cares.
Hasty cares.
Okay, there would be people that care. I think a majority of the people, if you're used to traveling back and forth all the time, you don't care whose name is on it. They could call it, I don't know, I could call it there's been some bad people
sure.
out there in the past.
Yes.
And if we named it after any of them, I don't think anybody on either side of the bay would really care too much.
The Fidel Freeway.
The Fidel Freeway.
You can see that maybe somebody would have a political axe to grind with that name.
Ken just, he says, call it the Come On Man Causeway, if we're able to get that done. maybe this will be the poll question. I know Leanna came in asking for the poll question, and David laying it out there for us. If given the choice of paying a toll or having the federal government pay for the new Bayway but naming it the Joe Biden Bridge, would you rather pay the toll or have the Joe Biden Bridge? And Matt says, once we're getting the traffic reports from Kane, caution, there's a wreck in the thing. You know, man, the thing.
I think the majority of... So the poll question is what?
The poll question is basically, would you rather pay a toll or travel on the Biden Bridge?
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good question.
I think that, yeah, it's a great question, but I think, like you said, people that either make their money traveling because they're a trucker, or those who make their money because their job's on one side of the bay and they live on the other, I think overwhelmingly they would forgive whoever named the bridge after Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And get on it, and it would almost be like, you know, if you had this terrible pain somewhere in your body for years and years and years, and suddenly it was gone.
Yeah.
It would be like, wow, I can get from here to there in 8 minutes.
Well, the one of the most descriptive, somebody that I knew had back surgery. They had bad back. Mm-hmm. And they said it was like having a toothpick stuck under your nail and then someone removing that toothpick from under your nail. Is that what people on the daily drive in the afternoon over the Bayway feel?
I don't know.
It would be like that kind of relief if there was a new bridge.
I would think so.
Freely.
I would think so. And not that I could see into the future, but even way back when we bought a house, or when we decided to move here, where we were going to live, certainly the Eastern Shore is attractive in many ways. But I was like, no, I'm going to live in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we decided to do. And I think, I can't remember, you know, it's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but I think that was definitely something. And I was doing morning radio, too.
Mm-hmm.
How early would I have to get up if there's a backup on the Bayway? It's like, it's not worth it.
And so many people have made that exact same decision.
Exactly.
And maybe it's actually helping keep population in Mobile, if you think about it.
It might be.
If the drive became easier, would Mobile's population, you know, flee even more quickly? Because we're seeing that the county's losing population.
So here in, let's see here, here at FM Talk 106.5, almost everybody here, sales, support staff, not a bunch of us, but I think everybody's on this side of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to when I worked where I was.
Who's Jeff spent some time on the other
side. Oh, Jeff's over there. And also, we have a sales lady that's up in Bay Minette with Hasty.
Mm-hmm.
But where I previously lived, a lot of the personnel, a lot of the people you would hear on the radio lived in Baldwin County.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just too risky a proposition for me.
Especially in radio, right?
Yeah, especially
gotta
in radio.
At a certain time.
Got to be there, live microphones and all that.
Another texter says, I'll go through Bay Minette and deal with Dolly. Dale, two old white dudes discussing spending taxpayer money on a new Bayway in 2021. So woke. Maybe a drag queen statue there beside the Biden one. Maybe we'll call it the drag.
What's Dale's problem?
Well, he was saying the mayor and Biden and others up there talking about spending taxpayer money on
infrastructure. I thought we were the old white guys.
Yeah, I haven't been called old yet.
8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and old Dalton right here.
8:35 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, it's a great start to the day. No telling if we'll get some rain later today, but got some time to get out there and get to McConnell and check out the lot.
That's right. I mean, it looks like a beautiful day. I'm out on the lot right now looking over this inventory. We've got a great selection of new and pre-owned. I mean, I'm still saying we are the pre-owned truck capital of Alabama. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of trucks, and most of them are all GM certified, as all the GMs are. And we got plenty of them sitting out front. Got an AT4 Yukon, an AT4 half ton, got an AT4 three quarter ton. That's all on the U side. So we've got some great selection. Y'all can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. You want any kind of a video of them or anything like that, give Gene or I a call, 251-476-4141. We'll send it right to you and give you a great deal on it.
That's some good stuff, Louis. You guys have a tremendous selection, and anyone out there looking for a vehicle, I encourage them, check you out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwick, FM Talk 106.5. A lot of comments on the
proposed Biden bridge bayway.
Proposed by me, but but anyway, we're a long way from, in football analogy, Sandy Stimson is on his own 8. Okay, mm-hmm. He's got to go to the length of the field. Field goal won't work.
Yeah.
Need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
And he's behind a terrible offensive line.
And he's up there in Washington. But at least he's going to be face-to-face with Joe Biden today.
Yeah, and if Joe Biden can remember who he talked to, maybe there's a chance that the I-10
Kamala's taking notes. She's taking notes.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. That maybe the I-10 bridge project would be put on that infrastructure bill. And, you know, the political reason why I don't think it would move to the front of the list for Biden is because, well,
Alabama?
He ain't winning Alabama, I don't think, anytime soon, even if he did make this happen. Now, in a local race, in the mayoral race, if Mayor Stimson were able to come back and say, hey, look, I got a promise from the feds that they would include our bridge, or at least part of this project, in the $1.5 trillion infrastructure project. I think that would do a number for his campaign heading into next month's election. And the same for the governor's race. Even though I think Governor Ivey will win re-election and win it handily, you have Jim Ziegler, who is exploring the idea of running for governor. But I think if he focused all of his attention on the lack of assistance for the I-10 bridge that is coming from the state, and if he focused everything on that, there's a good chance I think Ziegler could win Mobile and Baldwin counties in this governor's race.
He could win. Well,
I don't think he'll have as much a chance north.
Right.
But he would pull some numbers here just because of the bridge discussion. And we're getting a lot of discussion on the text line. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, Mystic Charles is on the line. Hey, morning, Charles.
Good morning, Double D.
What's
How
happening?
Are you guys?
We're doing great, buddy. How about you?
We've got 3 comments for you today.
All right.
Number 1, current events for the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, fishing.
Okay.
And number 3, good news and something to give you a little pep in your step.
All
Let's
right.
talk about the bridge
Let's
first.
Get it rolling, yeah.
Why don't we keep it local and not get real political and just call it the Double D Bridge for the two of you guys. And you are the express information talk line of the Gulf Coast. So why not ride the Double D Bridge and listen to you guys coming and going?
Yeah, you know, I can't. Dalton and I being honored by this community is way overdue.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I think that could get confusing, though, with the Dolly Parton Bridge. I mean,
No. Listen to us coming and going. No pun intended.
Yes. Okay. But now, item number 2.
Item number 2.
Fishing,
Mystic Stripers Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
August 14th coming up. I'm about to come into the studio with you guys and talk about it.
Sounds good.
This benefits the St. Jude's Children's Hospital,
Love
and
it.
It's just good, good, good. And number 3.
Some more good news,
The good news is, how many days are left in the month of July? Count them.
About 16 or 17?
17 days left, and then the football month.
That's
for
right.
For the rest of the year.
Yes.
Does that put a smile on anybody's face?
Yeah,
come on now.
You just put it on mine, man. Yeah.
Ear to ear right here, Charles. Ear to ear. I'm excited.
Look forward to coming in, talking to you guys about the fishing rodeo, helping out the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The Mystic Stripers are always family friendly. Fishing rodeo, looking forward to it. You guys are doing a great job, and I'll let you go.
Thank you, Charles.
Great call, Mystic Charles, this morning. We would be honored to have the bridge named after us.
Yeah,
one else would be.
It would be an overwhelmingly emotional day for me, I can tell you that.
Lots of text to get to. And I do still want to play the ad from the All-Star Game that I think probably only Dan and I watched last night in this listening audience, because they moved it from Atlanta to Colorado.
Yep.
Not many MLB fans out there anyway. And to be honest, I wouldn't have been watching it if I didn't have maybe some money riding on the game. But we'll get into the RNC ad that aired last night. First texts, Damn Yankee says, no matter what Jim Ziegler is saying, all I hear is Foghorn Leghorn. Hey, it's not nice.
It's not nice, but there's a ring of truth to it.
Jace, as we speak about travel, he said, I travel a lot. Pensacola Airport is 1 mile further from where he lives or starts his travels than Gulfport. You know, right about midway from Pensacola and Gulfport. If you fly to New York City, it's a 3-hour nonstop from Pensacola. If you have a 1 to 2 hour layover in Charlotte, if you leave Gulfport, he said he goes to Gulfport just so he doesn't have to cross the bay.
Wow!
Even he'd rather have a layover
than have direct
in
flight.
Charlotte than a direct flight from Pensacola to New York.
Not deal with the bay.
And he said Mobile Regional is 2 miles away from his house, but is trash. So no. Well, we'll see if things change once they move the airport downtown. Maybe some bigger airlines will get included here in 2024.
Prices go down.
Monty says if the monument is going to be that of Biden, it would probably say welcome to Florida, since he rarely knows where he is. And the Pelicans would take care of the defacing. Yeah. I thought that I was. Some Pelicans crossed over me the other day, and I knew for a fact I was about to get some Pelican.
He's got it all planned out.
Another texter, what about traffic in Baldwin County? Forget the bridge. So, yeah, it's not always easy, but when you add them together, I mean, 1 + 1 = 2, and if you just have the one problem to worry about, then you don't have to worry about, I don't know. Yeah, I just think the bridge is enough of a problem in itself that if we fix that, then people could maybe be a little more patient with the other traffic issues.
Right.
Instead of going over the Biden Bridge, this texter says I'd go through Bay Minette and deal with Dolly. So there you go. So far, I'm surprised. Overwhelmingly, most people saying
no,
that they would not travel a nice, clean, toll-free new bridge if it had Biden's name on it. Well, how about the Harris Highway? Even though it's an interstate.
You're asking for trouble now.
I really think people probably wouldn't use it then. All right, so back to last night.
Yes.
The All-Star Game was held on in Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. And this was all because the MLB, they got scared. They backed out because Delta, a Georgia company, Coca-Cola, a Georgia company, Stacey Abrams, a Georgia governor. Oh, wait, no, she lost that race. Mm-hmm. She still hasn't conceded, by the way.
Right.
Because the Georgia Congress tried to pass this voting law similar to Texas's voting law.
Well, they did.
16 other states. They did pass it. You're right. In 16 other states since the election. And the woke crowd just went nuts about it. And Delta and Coke weighed in as well. And they left. The MLB folded and said, actually, we're going to Denver. So last night, that was where the All-Star game was. It was really awkward. They had a full thing for Hank Aaron.
Big tribute to Hank Aaron.
Yeah, big tribute. His wife was out there prior to the game. Freddie Freeman with the Braves gave her a big hug and said he loved her. That should have been in Atlanta. And during the game, the RNC, Republican National Convention, committee ran an ad starring Reverend Melvin Everson from Georgia, former state representative. And this is what it sounded like.
This was supposed to be Atlanta's night, but we were robbed. Democrats stole our All-Star game to push their divisive political agenda. Politicians and corporations lied, while black communities got hurt the most, even though a majority of black voters support laws like voter ID. To Democrats, it's just a game, but we're the ones who got played.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So there you go. That aired with really no, I mean, you have midterms coming up, but no immediate elections. They're trying to shift there, but kind of long-term thinking. I'm wondering how far is too far? We talked about that with Quinn yesterday.
Yep.
You start moving things because of the quote-unquote woke crowd, and we talked about the percentages of black businesses and white businesses in Atlanta compared to Colorado. And who really ended up being hurt by this moving of the game?
You just said it.
Millions of dollars at stake.
And it was really smart for their messaging to be a black man from the state of Georgia.
Right.
You know, not just like, hey, us white people think that was really wrong. Wouldn't get that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have rung the same with the Georgia governor being up
there.
But
it sounded great.
Yeah.
Sounded great.
Talk about that and a whole lot more with Jeff Poore coming up in the next segment.
846 FM Talk 106.5. We'll check traffic on the Biden Bayway. Kane's got that on the way. Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. The show is Mobile Mornings. And the show following us is called The Jeff Poore Show, because this guy hosts it. And his name is Jeff Poore. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I'm like a walking billboard for the Jeff Poore Show. Anyone I talk to, I'm like, hey, if you want to know before anyone else what's going on in Alabama politics and in many instances national politics, listen to 3 hours of the Jeff Poor Show, and you'll already be ahead of 95% of the crowd.
Even international yesterday, Jeff, I thought Frances Martell was so compelling when she was talking about Cuba. She seems to know what she's saying, and also she, you know, she's got ties to the country. Crazy.
Yeah, her parents migrated here from Cuba for obvious reasons. So she's one of these cold warriors. She's the daughter of one of these some cold warriors. Let's say you see that a lot in South Florida, but that lends itself to her expertise.
Yeah, it was excellent.
You know, we talk about voting demographics often, and sometimes, you know, the left who say they want to end racism, they talk about racism more than just about anyone. But I'm wondering, and we talked about this a little bit with Quinn yesterday, and with the RNC ad last night in the All-Star game about moving the game from Atlanta with a majority black population to Denver with a majorly majority white and even Hispanic population, that it hurt African-Americans when the intent of the move was because of the racism in the voting laws in Georgia. With that and with some of these traditions being devalued, like the church and some sexual mores with, you know, the trans stuff and just taking it to the limit that the left wants to do, how far is too far? And when will some traditionally liberal voting blocks move right because of the woke crowd?
Yeah, I say this on my show, and I have like one texter that really hates it. It's a pendulum that swings back and forth. The pendulum seems to have swung way, way, way in the other direction. And, you know, you have to give it the left credit here. They have captured the hearts and minds of our culture. They've always had the news media, but probably where it's really been impactful is in corporate America. And, you know, the Wall Street boardrooms, they don't want to be seen as anti-woke, so they try to overcompensate. And I think that's kind of what the reason for the moving of the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. You had all these sponsors that were like, oh, we don't know, you know, passing these scary voting laws, we think that's going to hurt us. Until there's a response at the marketplace, you know, and you know, Coca-Cola or Verizon or any of these corporate sponsors, you see that associate themselves with these sporting leagues, I mean, it's just going to be more of the same. You know, the way this works, guys, the island of Manhattan, you got Wall Street and you got Madison Avenue, where a lot of these decisions are made about what direction to go with politics. That's dominated by a liberal orthodoxy. It's one of the most Democrat voting places in the country. Until there's some pushback from the marketplace and people just stop buying products because of the left of center politics, that's what it's going to take. That's going to be the swing. But I'm not saying I think it will happen, though, at some point if things keep trending in the same direction.
So you can you can speak your mind if you're selling a MyPillow, but you can't speak your mind if you're
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. It hasn't hurt MyPillow, has it?
Well, the left is very, very good at this. They organize these boycotts. They organize these, you know, social media campaigns. The right, for whatever reason, and I no one can explain this to me. The right does not engage in these boycotts. They don't apply the economic pressure like the left does. And you know, well, that's not what we do. We're conservatives. We don't believe in that. But as long as there's two sets of rules and there's two playbooks going, and the other playbook seems to be working, and there's no counter to that, this is what you expect.
And Democrats are bringing a gun to the knife fight.
Yeah, and in many instances, it seems like they are, for sure. The Senate race got juicy over this last weekend. Lots of barbs thrown back and forth, with the top one being from former President Trump going after Katie Britt without even mentioning her name. And now, I guess, has Shelby responded, Senator Richard Shelby?
Yeah, so I guess CNN's Mani Raju caught up with Richard Shelby and Mitch McConnell to get them to respond to Trump's remarks. And, well, here is Shelby reacting to Trump calling him a rhino. He says, quote, "I was a Democrat at one time. a long time ago. We all were. I don't know what the president was, but I'm a Republican. I don't think anybody questions that up here. And he also doubled down on his support for Katie Britt.
Why even mention that he used to be a Democrat in this kind of war of words with the president? Unless he was like trying to get ahead of it or something, but that seems self-defeating.
He's checked out. He's not running again. He's just speaking very frankly, I guess. You know, I would say Shelby's not exactly, you know, a John Birch Society Republican or anything like that. He is what he is. He's kind of a legacy of the old South and the lawmakers we send to Washington, D.C., where they spend their entire career positioning themselves to work their way up the ladder on the Appropriations Committee. And, you know, Sean and I got into it about this yesterday at the end of my show, that is a certain era, I guess, seen as virtuous.
Hmm. Yeah, and so it was Brubaker, the former elected official, who said on your show earlier this week that Trump needs to stay the heck out of it. What did you take from that?
Senator Brubaker, a very smart guy when it comes to these things, but he's kind of the he does ride in that establishment lane. He's old Montgomery, old society. You know, every southern town kind of has that subset, right?
Yep.
And that's just the way things are done, and that's the way we've always done them. And you need to recognize the importance of that. It's sort of the ruling class's gesture to make Alabama prosperous, and we need to appreciate that. No matter what you think of that philosophy, and I have a lot of problems with it, but I don't think that is applicable anymore, especially in a Republican primary in Alabama.
Looking forward to the Jeff Poor Show today. You've got State Senator Jim McClendon, John Merrill, Secretary of State, will be on in the second hour. Also, Alabama political reporters Josh Moon, Team Britt over there, and Sean Ross with SR Communications. Looking forward to it, Jeff.
Thanks, man.
Dan and Dalton back tomorrow, beginning at 6 o'clock on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.